Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Big news, dude.
Big news, dude, but not for the Sharks.
Lindsay Lohan's going to jail.
Hooray!
Yeah!
Get in there. She's going to serve like a day and a half.
Enjoy the bologna on white bread toast. They did a whole like thing on the news about the... No, I say the news.
Yeah, that's news.
Like E! Entertainment yeah, news, which right, is what's on at my house.
Because
we love show tunes, dude. And they were talking about the food in the LA County Jail or wherever she's going.
And they're spending airtime on the food
yeah,
in jail.
Yeah, they're like, she, in the morning, Lindsay will get a donut. And for and for lunch, Lindsay will get a bologna sandwich on white bread. And for dinner, she'll get an empty plate, which is called the Kovalchuk special.
Dude, this is where we originally went into a big long discussion about Kovalchuk's contract and how great it was and or how crazy it was and how you know, the whole cap situation was gonna happen. And I also might add, it included such gems as this.
So then, is there any chance this contract is going to get voided?
No.
So here we are.
Here we are.
5 hours later.
5 hours later.
Coming to re-record the live breaking news that the Kovalchuk contract, as I perfectly asked.
Right.
Was voided, dude.
Let's hear that again.
So then, is there any chance this contract is going to get voided?
No. It just gets funnier each time. And then I go into this big, long discussion about, like, salary cap issues. And then I have this, I listened to it again. I did this crazy soliloquy on, like, the escrow situation in the CBA, which you followed with this.
I would have followed this a lot better if you'd made it a musical.
I mean, I'm almost glad we cut it. I listened to it. It was incomprehensible. It made no sense. So here we are.
Here we are, dude. It's about a little after 10 o'clock at night. The little salary cap elves over at the NHL office have decided to extend their giant July middle finger
right,
to the New Jersey Devils about 5 hours after they held their press conference.
So here's what Lou hears.
Are you saying Doug Wilson had something to do with this too?
It could happen.
So for people who don't know what's going on, dude, can you give us a brief explanation?
Does it get any briefer?
No, that about sums it up, dude. So the Kovalchuk deal has been voided by the NHL.
The NHL, due to the fact that they believe it circumvents the salary cap.
It does.
Which is a CBA situation. I didn't pull the clip, but there's a clip of me in our previous recording of me saying, circumventing the salary cap and proving that you're circumventing the salary cap are two different things. Apparently not. Apparently, the league thinks that they're trying to circumvent the cap. And to me, there are two main characteristics of this contract that really, I think, are the things that tip the scale in the favor of voiding the contract. The first is the fact that the contract wouldn't end until Kovalchuk was 44 years old, which is, you know, pretty old. I mean, not too many people play.
You tell that to Chris Chelios.
Yeah. Well, Chris Chelios, notwithstanding, there aren't a whole lot of people.
Mark Recchi?
Yeah. I mean, there's a few. You can come up with a few. But can you make a blanket statement that 44 is a standard age for retirement? No, you can't make that case. The other, and I think even more important aspect of it, is the last five, count them, 5 years of the deal, Kovalchuk would be making only $550,000, which right now is the league minimum. So that's a pretty obvious indicator. Even a contract like Marian Hossa, a lot of people are bringing up the Hossa contract. Hossa's earning $750,000 the last 2 years of the contract. So there's a pretty big... I mean, you can make a case that there's a difference here between those two things. I mean, it goes from maybe teasing or a hint to outright this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to lower the cap hit to $6 million a year. And, you know, it's not exactly, they're not exactly trying to hide it.
Well, I guess I call foul to all of them because I don't see the difference. And I think that there's going to be an interesting situation that could be played out here because apparently the Players Association can appeal this decision.
That's right?
Right.
And it can go to an arbitrator.
And you've got to think that the evidence is strong in terms of the Hossa deal, the Duncan Keith deal, the Luongo deal, the Rick DiPietro deal, which we all laughed at when that came out. So the precedent has been set, and I guess I'm having trouble really seeing the difference, dude. I mean, I understand, you know, it's $250,000, but that to me is just such a minimal amount of money that I think they're all the same thing.
It's a different amount of money, and it's a different time when they end. I think Hossa would be 41, Kovalchuk 44. I guess it was the tipping point, right? I mean, clearly there's no science here. Clearly there's nothing in the CBA that says, under these conditions are you circumventing the cap, and under these conditions you're not, right? I mean, this is a judgment call made by the league. There was some outrage. Who knows? Maybe some other owners in the NHL expressed some concerns or outrage to the commissioner's office, and that might have gone into his decision. I mean, that's just speculation at this point. But the fact is that it's a tougher case to make for Kovalchuk than any of the other contracts we've seen up to this point. And Kovalchuk, you look at the breakdown of salary, you see $6 million, then you see $11.5 million, then you see $10 million, then all of a sudden you're down to $1,550,000. And how can you, for what other purpose would you do that? It's not to support a player when he's in his old age, it's to dry out the contract.
Sure, but isn't that the case with all the other deals as well?
Yeah, I don't know why I'm being put in this devil's advocate position.
Well, you put yourself squarely in that chair, my friend.
I'm decidedly uncomfortable about it.
I think they're all in the same boat, and that's why, I don't know, dude. Do you think there's any shot that they're going to have to repeal this decision?
They could go to arbitration, right? So the league made its decision.
Oh, you know it's going to happen. This is going to be long and painful, just like the entire Kovalchuk process has been.
Well, the other option is that they can rejigger the contract and change it up. I'm sure they're probably in communication with Gary Bettman and the other guys at the office, and they have the opportunity within, I believe, the next 5 days. I'm just going off of some quick tweets and things that TSN has said. That they can rejigger the contract in the next 5 days and get it according to Hoyle, and then the league will approve it and everything moves on. Or they can choose to appeal the decision, which goes to an independent arbitrator. And then under that condition, the Devils could be subject to fines and other penalties if they are ruled against. So it's a little bit more tricky to try and, I guess, appeal it. I have no idea what the Devils are going to do. Certainly some of the things that has been said from the Devils camp seems that Lou Lamoriello wasn't entirely on board with the structure of this contract, and it was maybe more of the owner's decision than his. So
he said as much at the press conference.
That's pretty much it. So my gut tells me, which has been, I had Thai today, so you never know what my gut's going to tell you.
We can see from your earlier comment that you're extremely accurate. What was that again, Mike?
Let me see if I can find that clip again. What exactly did I say?
So then, is there any chance this contract is going to get voided?
No. third time's a charm. But my gut tells me that Lou might try and rejigger the contract and get moving. And the fact is none of these contracts, not the Kovalchuk contract, not the Hossa contract, not the Pronger contract, which is actually in a different ballgame because that's over 35. None of these contracts go against any of the rules in the CBA for sure. None of them. There's only this vaguely worded thing about you can't purposely circumvent the cap. What that means, that's for lawyers and people like us to argue about until we're blue in the face. And the fact is, that's a tough thing to prove, man. It's tough to prove intent. It's tough to prove that you're trying to defraud somebody without actual tape recordings or transcripts of something or emails. So, that's why we're in this mess, is because the CBA is very vague.
On the spot again, does this change anything? Or Kovalchuk staying in Jersey, right?
Well, that's the next question. Because my gut has been wrong several times already. I don't want to take a position about where Kovalchuk's going to go now.
I'm going to take a stand.
You think Dean Lombardi's going to jump back in?
No. There's. How about this for a soundbite? 0.0% chance that he leaves. After everything that happened today, I'm in the best place. I want to be a New Jersey Devil. All those players turned out.
Oh, yeah, that's
you know,
right.
He is, I mean, Kovalchuk now, ironically, is in a really bad position. And, you know, I think he's going to have to take whatever restructured deal the Devils have to do in order to make this happen because, you know, he's going to look like a grade A class number one butthole.
Yeah.
If he walks away because the contract was declared illegal.
Right. I don't know if the players union, the players union may have a grievance as well, so they may interact on his behalf, but you're right. However this sort of turns out, Kovalchuk has to sign with the Devils.
He has to stay.
He has to.
Or he goes to Russia.
Right.
There's no other choice.
You're right.
He either goes to Russia and he never comes back, or he stays with the Devils. There's no choice. He's going to have to figure it out. I just have a weird feeling that the Players Association is going to make a big deal about this.
Yeah, they might, because it's not technically against the letter of the law, and it requires an interpretation. You know,
it's definitely the intent is to circumvent the cap, but there is precedent for it. Other people have done it before. It's not like Lamoriello and the owner of the Devils was the pioneer of this idea.
No,
you know, you can, I guess the first contract was really Garth Snow's with DiPietro, right?
Well, that you cannot make the case that that was intended to circumvent the cap because DiPietro makes the same amount every single year of that deal.
That's true.
So DiPietro is in a completely different class. He was just signed to an extremely long-term deal because Charles Wang or whoever was the GM at that point, I guess it was it Garth Snow at that point? Or
yeah, I think that was one of his first like major things.
Was to lock up a great goalie for a long time, and hopefully by the end of the contract, he's making well under market value. As it happens, it didn't really turn out that way. Let's shift gears to the Kings here, because as we also talked about in the previous recording that we had to scratch, the Kings missed out on Simon Gagné, another big trade that happened. And I don't really understand the timing of those two deals. You see Kovalchuk announced. As we said, he's probably going to have to stay with the Devils at this point because of all the backslapping and glad-handing that has gone on. And yet the Kings don't go after Simon Gagné, another top-flight winger who's on the market, who instead goes to Tampa Bay for the proverbial bag of pucks.
Right.
So let's talk about that deal. So Steve Yzerman just completely, you know, pulled Paul Holmgren's jersey over his head and took a couple swings, right?
I guess. I mean, you got to figure that the offers were not fantastic for Gagné. And, you know, we've seen this before in other matters. We really see it in the NBA where, you know, some very useful players are being traded for second round throwaway picks just to get rid of the salary. Mm-hmm. And that's all Philly wanted to do. They wanted to clear the salary. That's it. You know, and to get but they were kind of forced into taking a really bad contract in Matt Walker's deal.
I know. That's what's so weird to me is, wouldn't the Kings have given them something better than that?
You'd think so.
I mean, I'm sure the Kings would have taken the salary because obviously they were in a position they wanted to sign Kovalchuk. They were willing to take on salary. I think Gagné is only making five and change.
For 1 year.
For one single year. So, yeah, the Kings could offer them a pick and a low-level guy. Who's
they
not
could have
a
given
money.
Them, if they were looking for defensive depth, they couldn't have given them this, you know, young defenseman, Drew Whiskey, I think is how you say his name. He's got 2 years left, about $600,000 a year. He can be a scratch defenseman for the Flyers and fill in admirably. I mean, they were really high on him for part of the season last year, and I think he kind of fell down the depth chart. But you give them that, and Yzerman's offering a fourth. I'll offer you a third.
Yeah,
big deal.
I know. I don't get that. So I feel like there's two losers in one trade. One is Paul Holmgren because I think he could have gotten more, and the other is Dean Lombardi for not being in on that deal. He should have been a little bit more aware of where he was with Kovalchuk and maybe had a deal in place with Holmgren just in case the Kovalchuk deal fell through. I don't understand why that didn't happen, because I can't help but think Holmgren could have gotten more.
Well, Lombardi talked to Holmgren, and then Lombardi said no deal, and then he called Holmgren back, and then he said no deal, and then they went to dinner,
right?
And then there was no deal,
right?
So, I mean, we've been on this double day before, right?
Right.
No, I don't think any of that happened, but
it's
baffling. But I'll tell you what, dude.
Yeah,
I'm happy about it, because the Kings are a team that's poised to really take that next step.
Yeah.
And
this is really sort of thrown a wrench into that upward trajectory we've seen.
Sure. You know, they've talked about a team that's just floated in neutral. Now, granted, you know, the Sharks, you could say, maybe have at the current moment have taken a step backwards. But I don't think the Kings have passed the Sharks this offseason because they've done nothing to make it happen. If they could have got Kovalchuk,
right,
and the Sharks are status quo,
mm-hmm, that's up.
Kings are the favorite to win the Pacific if that happens.
That's true. That's true. But that does mean that Dean Lombardi is going to have some extra flexibility.
He's got $16 million of cap room right now.
Yeah.
That's a lot. But there's nothing left. It's slim pickings.
Right.
So if I were to take a guess, and we've been so accurate today.
Awesome.
That I would say, you know, Lombardi's going to look to do short-term deals with people, maybe a year. He might really wait out the market and try and get, you know, anyone but Alex Frolov, who could score on the wing. And probably the best target might be a guy like Lee Stepniak, who had a resurgence in Phoenix. Apparently must be asking for too much money right now.
Right.
He hasn't been signed. So maybe you give him a little more money than you probably should, but it's only for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, okay, you know, we're going to give you $4.5 million because we have it 1 year. You know, one mm-hmm. year. And if you're good, then maybe you come back. But if not, then you're gone. And maybe they go with their, you know, they were rumored to be in on Ham Hughes. They were rumored to be in on Paul Martin. And they couldn't make it happen. They weren't able to sign either of those guys. So maybe they're going to try and make a play for Thomas Cabrera. We've heard that too. But that's going to cost them a
right.
player like Wayne Simmonds.
Yeah, they're gonna have to give up something big to get Cabrera.
So they're really going to have a lot of money coming up next season.
Right. Even more next season.
They'll
right?
have 20-something million if they do that. So they could be major players in a free agent market that has players like Brad Richards in it.
Yeah.
It has a player like Alex Semin, who really
yeah.
might be
yeah.
a great fit in LA. And it also has a little player by the name of, I don't know, Jumbo Joe Thornton.
And we have an email about Joe Thornton, so that's a perfect segue into this email from Scott.
It's almost like I planned.
It's almost like you planned it, dude. Scott says, I know we're normally worried about signing our RFAs and solidifying the team with free agents during these summer months, but what I haven't heard anything about is Joe Thornton's contract situation. I personally think that Thornton is probably the most important player on this team, and DW seems to agree, as historically Thornton has been the only untouchable player. He's the rare breed of player that makes everyone around him better. How's the AHL treating you, Cheech? I just don't see Healy and Marlowe having gaudy numbers if Thornton isn't around for the long haul, which will then make their contracts look bad in hindsight. So the question is this. If you were DW, do you make extending Thornton a priority this summer, or do you allow it to be a possible distraction during the season? So that's a good question. You know, the big question about Joe Thornton, and you know, it's almost a religious argument because there's little data to back it up. Is Joe Thornton the playoff choker? Blah blah blah. You know, does Joe Thornton rise for the playoffs, etc.? You know, are we going to get into this argument again? We had it during the playoffs. We have it every single year. You know, Joe Thornton's making $7.3 million. You know, do you offer Joe Thornton a contract right now?
You asking if I would?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
No, I would not. Do I think it's going to happen? Yes, I do.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen this summer. I do. You know, Wilson is not one to give out extensions during the season. I'm trying to remember about Mahalik's. That might have come during
Matt
the season.
Matt Carls came during the season, too.
So, but usually he does it during the summer. I mean, last time Joe Thornton did a three-year extension, it happened in on July 1st, I mean, actually, it happened on, you know, Canada Day.
Yeah.
Our big signing is Joe Thornton.
Right.
You know, we kept him. I think, you know, it's possible when the dust settles and after we get our number two defenseman that Doug Wilson seems to be, by all accounts, and we can take him by, as a man of his word, that he is committed to this core of guys. And when I say core of guys, I'm talking Thornton, Heatley, Marlowe, Pavelski, and Dan Boyle. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's committed to those five guys being the guys who are going to take this team for the next 5 years down, or 4 years, you know, mm-hmm. really into the future. So would he need to sign Joe Thornton to a 3-year extension to make that happen? Yeah. And I'm fully expecting it, dude.
So you're dancing around the question, dude.
I wouldn't do it, though, because I said this earlier this summer. I think this is a pivotal year for this team. If they are unable to make it out of the conference finals or make it out of the semis, mm-hmm. you know, and they struggle, you know, do you want to continue to keep throwing the same product out there that's not really making any strides? And I think you've got to wait and see how the season plays out. And if you reward Joe now with,
right.
the, you know, yeah. you got to keep the carrot in front of a guy like that.
Yeah. yeah.
And see how he does, dude. What's your take?
You know, I was thinking while you were talking there, cause I wasn't really listening to anything you were saying. I was thinking that, you know, if Joe would be willing to sign a deal that would give him, you know, say, oh, I don't know, a $6 million cap hit, like another player we just talked about for way too long. You know, how could you possibly turn that down? I mean, if you could sign Joe for you know, a 5-year, $30 million deal, you know, with, that's front loaded and makes $7.5 or $8 million first couple years, how could you turn that down? But you know, then I actually started listening to the things that you were saying, and you know, that makes really a lot of sense. And I think you kind of got to risk it. I think you have to risk letting Joe Thornton go. And if Dean Lombardi's going to sign him or whatever, then he's going to sign him. And you're going to have time after next season is over to evaluate and make new offers to guys before they come up as free agents on July 1. And if things go great and Joe comes up big and he's, you know, doing the role that he's supposed to be doing and the Sharks appear to be on a good trajectory, then I could see re-signing Joe Thornton. But you're right. You do not make that call right now. You just don't.
I mean, let's be clear. Last time Joe Thornton was in a contract year, he had 114 points.
That's right. And that's the other, that's the okay. second part is, don't you want to get the contract year production like we saw out of Nabby last year? Nabby had his best save percentage of his career last year. It was his contract year. You think that's a coincidence? I don't.
No.
And we saw Marlowe get a truckload of goals in his contract year. You think that was a coincidence? I don't think so.
Yeah, Marlowe's best season as a pro. Maybe not point-wise. I mean, 05-06, he had 86 points. But last year was his best season. 44 goals.
Yeah.
Dominant player.
Right.
You let Joe Thornton go.
Right.
And you know, part of me thinks that they're going to sign him. But now I may have just talked myself out of it, dude. It would be very vintage Doug Wilson, right? To just let him... He knows
yeah.
that Thornton had his best year as a pro when he was in a contract year. Let the guy
let
go. Maybe he can take you to the Stanley Cup this yeah. time by having this monster production. You know, he did that with Chichu. What's he going to do with Heatley? 150 points, dude?
Yeah.
He's got 150 points!
He's going to break Gretzky's record. 220 points. No, I think you got to let the you got a little bit of the hook in the fish, and you let the fish go for a while. You let the reel run.
Yeah, the risk is gigantic because yeah. if you let Joe go, you know, on the unrestricted free agent market, there's, you know, there's Brad Richards, and you know, we're not going to be involved in anything like that anyways.
No.
So then you're in a really bad spot where the Sharks are in a position where they're going to have to trade young players, assets to replace Joe Thornton, or you're forcing Marlowe back to center and you've got to get a wing to play with them. It's tough, especially with the prospect of, you know, most likely we're not going to have Seto and Klo
mm-hmm.
both this year. One of them's going to have to go if we're going to upgrade the number two spot. So, I think we're of the same mind.
Yeah, I think you convinced me, dude. At first I thought, well, if we can sign Joe to a sweetheart deal now, that might be better off. But you know what? Being a GM in this league is about managing risk to a certain extent. And you can't just do the safe play all the time. And maybe signing Joe would be a little bit of a safer play, but you could be hurting in 2 years because you've built the team around the wrong guy. Maybe you want somebody else. Or, you know, maybe you want to spend the money on somebody else, and there's an opportunity to sign, you know, a great free agent. I mean, a guy that I love is Kimmo Tiiminen. You know, I mean, everybody's got their own pet player that they would love to see come to the Sharks. I mean, if you could, you know, if Joe Thornton maybe has an off year, maybe you would want to go get somebody else.
Right. Can you think of a unrestricted free agent that has left the Sharks that's been here for a substantial amount of time? And Brian Campbell doesn't count. He was here for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Who's left the Sharks as a free agent who's been here for a decent tenure? Can you think of a player that, that wasn't by our choice? I mean, we let Nabby go. We didn't want him.
Ray Whitney?
Was he a free agent when he left?
Well, we didn't want him.
So is there a guy that we lost out on? You know, if we had a situation where Marlo went to market this year and Marlo chose to leave San Jose, we haven't seen that yet.
Well, this doesn't fall under your criterion, but maybe you made the criterion too strict. And the big example of that is Manny Malhotra.
Right, but Manny Malhotra was offered an ungodly sum of money for his services, and you can't blame him. I think he would have gone to any winning team mm-hmm. for that money.
Right.
And being a Shark...
Belfour? Do I have to bring up Belfour?
Okay. But those are guys that were brought in, and we were unable to keep them because they weren't part of the San Jose culture. They didn't get to eat at Original Joe's, dude.
That's right. Yep.
They didn't experience Henry's High Life like we know it. So to answer the question, would I be shocked? No. But do I think it should happen right now? No, I don't.
Okay, that's the new poll question. I'm going to put that up because that's a good one. I'm going to see what people think. Should we resign Joe now? Should we roll the dice and take our chances? Assuming that we're not going to see an in-season negotiation with Joe Thornton.
Right.
Do we sign him this summer or do we wait till after the season next year? So we want to hear from you. Send us an email. Of course, fill out the poll question. Once you hear this, it'll be up on the website. And that's a good question, Scott. So I definitely appreciate that. Dude, I know that you're very excited for this, so I'm going to go ahead and play this.
Crazy trade.
All right, crazy trade time, dude. You're already smiling.
We know Doug Wilson loves a deal.
Yeah.
And he has a history making deals with Lou Lamoriello.
Uh-huh.
And Lou's going to have to make some salary shedding deals here. And they're going to have to part with a player that I think they don't want to. I'd be surprised if somebody, you know, is going to take Dinas Zubris off their hands, you know? So, this is a two-part theory here.
Okay.
And, you know, not to sound like a broken record, but you know, I still subscribe to the theory that Devin Setoguchi is not going to be on the team next year, that he's going to be traded in order to get that number two defenseman. Or it could be Ryan Clough is the one who's moved. One of them's gone. And you have to take Huskins in the deal.
Right.
That's the deal. Okay, so assuming they're gone and we've gotten a defenseman in place, we need to replace the top six forward. So you offer a young player who signs a two-year contract like Torrey Mitchell, and you get Jamie Langenbrunner in teal.
You're a big Jamie Langenbrunner guy.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that you're not totally sold on this
idea. I'm not totally sold on Jamie Langenbrunner.
What don't you like about Jamie Langenbrunner? This guy, he was, wasn't he the captain of the U.S. Olympic team?
Ah, pish posh.
Dude.
Nobody cares.
Captain of the U.S. Olympic team. Okay. This guy had 61 points last year. He had 60 plus points the year before that. He's a legitimate second line winger, dude. Jamie Langenbrunner.
I looked
at not that old.
No, he's not. He's 34, I think. I looked at his stats. Here's the one thing that worries me about a second line player if you want to slot Jamie Langenbrunner in the second line. He's played 13 full NHL seasons and only scored 20 goals four times in 13 tries. That's a marginal second line player to me. If you're a second line player, 20 goals should be, you know, sort of the baseline of where you're at. You know, 20 to 30 goals is sort of the sweet spot. And that's not Jamie Langenbrunner's sweet spot, and it's not going to be when he's 35 years old or 34. That worries me a little bit about Jamie Langenbrunner. And he's going to be making, I think his cap hits like $2.8 million. So we're going to be paying a guy, you know, not a whole lot of money, okay? Certainly less than what Ryan Clough is making. And we're not going to get the kind of production that we're going to be hoping for out of that second line. So that's the thing that gives me a little bit of reservations here. If he's the third line guy for less money with the same production, then it's a no-brainer. But I feel like he's he's like a quadruple A guy. He's between the third and the second line, and I'm not sure where you put him.
I think on this on our team, he'd be a second line guy. And I think, I mean, you look at the production he had last year. I mean, yeah. Isn't it an upgrade over Devin Zetaguchi's production last year?
That's true.
It's almost double.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, maybe not in goals, but in assists. The guy kills penalties. He's a heart and soul guy. I think it's exactly the kind of player that you could look for Doug Wilson to add that's in that Modano type mold. That's not right. He's going to be way more useful than a Mike Modano. You know, this guy is still playing good hockey and he's won Stanley Cups. He knows how to be effective during the regular season in the dressing room. In the playoffs, dude, you know, maybe doesn't have the best statistics. But, you know, I mean, he does have 33 playoff goals in 137 playoff games. Not a great playoff series last year, but he scored 11 goals for the Devils in their playoff run in 2002. I mean, that was a long time ago, yes.
Right.
Maybe yeah. Bad example. But anyways, dude, that's my crazy trade, and I'm going for Jamie Langenbrunner.
Yeah.
For Torrey Mitchell. I mean, Torrey Mitchell can be replaced by three guys.
Yeah.
Ben Ferriero could take his spot and might.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that's my idea, dude.
Good idea, dude. Good idea, dude. I appreciate
it. You don't love it.
I don't love it. And also, I'm looking at the Cap Geek printout of the Devils here. Why would they trade Jamie Langenbrunner? You know, he is not the guy.
Can you tell me who else on that team that has any value that would be potentially moved? Go down the roster real quick.
You trade Ralston. I mean, I'm talking about...
Who's going to take that
deal? I'm just saying, in terms of Lou Lamoriello,
right.
If you're the GM of the Devils, who would you rather trade than Langenbrunner? And that list is long.
Sure, but Ralston is unmovable.
Okay.
35-plus contract.
Zajac is not. I would trade Zajac. I would trade Dana Zubers.
But Zajac is young.
Right.
And good. He's not going anywhere. Zajac's not the guy.
Okay, so...
And Zubris, no one's going to take Dinas Zubris. That guy is... Talk about a third-line player. I mean, that guy is... He's got a ridiculous contract, too. He's making more money than Jamie Langenbrunner, right?
Yes, he is. So, I mean, these are the guys that you want.
Langenbrunner, 1 year left on his deal. He's the most marketable guy on the block.
Yeah.
If I talked you into it?
Yeah.
At least of convincing you that that's the guy who's going to go.
You haven't convinced me that's the guy who's going to go because Lou could maybe sucker somebody into taking Brian Ralston.
If you're going to trade a guy like Travis Zajac, then you better get
something good.
Something real good in return.
I'll give you that. But maybe he can get like the Islanders to trade Brian Ralston. They're not even at the cap floor yet. Well,
that would be so stupid if Garth Snow did that.
They took Bill Guerin. I mean, you know, they could take Brian Ralston.
For half the money.
Yeah.
Ralston's making $5 million.
But they need to fill cap space. I mean, the Isles are in the other
position. Wrong. Wrong.
All right, dude. I think we're at the end of this week. I was afraid.
No bits this week?
What's that?
No comedy bits this week?
Well, the last week went down so good. I think, you know, we should just save up all the.
I think people like the comedy bits. That should be the poll question.
Yeah. Okay. That'll be the poll question?
No.
Do we want it? We don't want to
know. I don't want to know.
We don't want to know.
Because we're going to keep doing them anyways.
Yeah, too bad.
People like them or not.
Just have to fast forward. but I think that's it, dude. We're in the middle of the summer. We're still finding things to talk about.
We somehow managed to talk for 40 minutes again.
Good times, dude.
Congratulations.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back again next week. Same time, same place.
Later.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.